Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And we're going tonight, with the Lord's help and blessings, tonight we're going on from the standpoint of taking a look at the Apostle Paul's salvation, conversion, call to the ministry. We're going to go on into this book of Galatians and continue on about the content of this book and the reason that the apostle is writing the churches at Galatia. I want you to hold your finger there at Galatians chapter 3, and let's just make mention of this from the historical standpoint. We've tried to go through and established a timeline for the Apostle Paul, different points and pieces and times in his ministry, to see that his ministry was one of decades, and that it was constant pursuit of the Word of God and the ministry that Lord had called him to. And where we want to leave that aspect of it is hold your finger here in Galatians chapter 3, and I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 28, the last chapter of the book of Acts, and just remind you, or just let us be reminded about this. In Acts chapter 28, verse number 30, Acts chapter 28, verse number 30, the scripture says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him." And that was a blessing, because he was a prisoner of Rome. He'd been falsely accused by the Jews, and that got him a trip to the west, and from Caesarea ended up traveling up to Rome ultimately, and had exposure to several hundred people on the boat on the way, and was a great witness and testimony to them. And then, if you recall, passages in Philippians and in Colossians, there's those that are of the household of Caesar that the Lord ended up saving. And that's the blessing and work of God. The Lord worked in this brother's life and used him greatly. Of course, called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And so after this thing that the apostle recounts in the book of Galatians, that we took a look at the issue over in Acts chapter 15 about these Judaizers rising up and saying for the Gentiles to be saved, they need Christ and they need circumcision. They took that to the church at Jerusalem and settled it that salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone and His salvation. Appreciate those things Brother Chad said. We're in a day that one of the gospels that is preached is a gospel to promise not to sin anymore. Start today being good. That's not it. That is not it. It's Jesus Christ. To have a faith, an assurance, a no-so conviction that you needed Jesus Christ to die for you that day some 2,000 years ago. And not only that you needed him to do so, that he did so. Christ is my Savior. He died for me because I'm a wicked, guilty sinner. And he died for me that day some 2,000 years ago. And you're the only one that can answer that for you. But he did that for me, and he's made me promises and made me a child of God, and he opened my eyes to see my condition and my need before him, and I believe him. I trust in him. I lay my whole life, my existence, my soul, everything there is about me, it's all resting on Christ. He can do with me whatever he wants to do, and he is faithful, and he saved me. For you that are here tonight not saved, you need him. Amen. You don't need the doctrine of the church, although the doctrine of our church points to Christ. But you need the God-man. You need him. And the scripture tells about it, or the doctrine, that teaching that we hold to points to him. You need Christ. Amen. In Galatians chapter 3, the apostle has given this account of the things that had happened years ago about these Judaizers and this requirement of the circumcision. He's mentioned that again. He's mentioned about him rebuking those that were there at Antioch publicly about this. And it seems to be a final, in regards to the apostles, in regards to those that are close to the apostles, it was the done deal about settling this, about anything else but Christ being necessary for the gospel, for salvation. They seem to be, the church there at Jerusalem makes a stand and a position and puts things to silence that have been rumbling around for years, it seems like. And then they send that up to Antioch, that notable church amongst the Gentiles. And so to those churches in Galatia, which are on north, to the north and northwest of the church in Antioch, there in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, that same doctrine that those Judaizers preached, it didn't go away. And the apostle is having to speak to those churches in Galatia about that same thing. And he says here in chapter 3, verse number 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? He asked them a question, and he starts off, O foolish Galatians. We know the scripture says in the Old Testament that the fool says in his heart, the fool says that there is no God. No God. No God in any wise. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And here he says that by the position, by the doctrine of this other gospel, you remember over here in chapter 1, verse number 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. If we go to another gospel, and what's he say there in verse 6? We are removed from, what's it say? Him. Him. If we pursue after another way of salvation, we have removed ourselves from our very Savior. Amen. I'm not talking about losing our salvation. I'm talking about the fellowship, the communication, the sweetness of the fellowship that we have with our Savior. Do you have fellowship with your Savior? As His children, we should. Amen. We should be. Brother Chad mentioned about why our young people aren't seemingly finding the Lord. And I tell you what, we can't lay that off on the providence of God. You and I are responsible. The Lord works. I know that. And I know it takes the Lord to save. And I know that the Lord brings us all, and all of our lives are different. But before God, may the Lord help us that we need to see to meet our responsibility. We can't save our kids. We can't convince our kids. But you know what? Our children look through us. Amen. And my kids, they're going to believe what I do, not what I say. Right. And so just pick one example. If I'm not faithful to the Lord's services, why should my children ever think to be? It's no guarantee that my children will be faithful to the services of the Lord's church. But if I'm not, why would they ever consider to be? Amen. They won't. Because talk's cheap, and what we do is what they see. Amen. Our children hear how we are and know how we are in private. They know if we're putting on a facade in the services and when the church meets together, and they know what goes on at home. I heard a brother say it years ago, and he's a pastor of a church, been pastor for decades. He says he can pretty much tell what's being talked about at home by the way the children behave towards him. Whether they're getting cooked preacher, or the pastor is being spoken of well. And the thing is, pastor shouldn't be spoken of well if he's not doing well. But pastor can pretty much know. And that, I found that, not in every case, but in many cases to be the case. And our children, if we're guilty of that, they hear that. And so this salvation that we've been saved with, it is to change our life. It's to change our life. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and even the extra day on leap year.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And so he says here, these have become foolish. We want to take a look at the context of this word foolish, because it's strong. If somebody calls you foolish, calls me foolish, we would take exception to that, I'm sure. We would be troubled by it. Me? Foolish? Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Let's take a look. This word's used a couple different times. Luke chapter 24. Take a look here. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke, using it here in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, verse number 25. Here after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection, the apostles, the disciples are having a hard time believing that it's so, even though the Lord's told them that. And here on the road to Emmaus, they're telling about this, and listen to what Christ says. In verse number 25, and he said unto them, the two there on the road to Emmaus, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Not only did Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, speak about it when he was amongst his church, but the Old Testament scriptures bear it out. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? It was prophesied to do so. And he says, O fools, why are they foolish? Same word over there in Galatians chapter 3. Because the Word of God and the Word himself has spoken about the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they did not believe it, comprehend it, grab a hold of it, and have it. And it's a testimony to us that we can be slow of heart to believe. And if we don't take the Word of God and put it to work in our lives, and we don't take it and put it to work in our homes, it's evident proof that we are slow to believe, aren't we?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, we'll take a look over here in Romans chapter 1. Same word, fools, or fool. Romans chapter 1, verse number 14. Romans chapter 1, it's rendered here differently. Same word, Romans chapter 1, verse number 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks, Paul says, and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. An unwise position about the truth of the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Unwise. Oh, unwise Galatians. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 9. Here speaking about those that seek to be rich, but they that will be rich, that seek after such, but they that will be rich, that is what they pursue, shall fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Having a desire to be wealthy, and all the things that come with that. The scripture says here that that desire is a foolish, foolish desire. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts or desires which drown men in destruction and perdition. In Titus chapter 3, we see it used also, Titus chapter 3, verse number 3. And it speaks about how we were before the Lord saved us. For we ourselves, Titus 3:3, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the life that we've been saved from. And we were indeed foolish and unwise and unlearned and ignorant and did not know, did we? And so now the apostle says, O foolish Galatians, the tack that you are taking with another gospel, it is foolish indeed. It is against God. It is against the rescue of the soul. You take this and you promote it, you propagate this other gospel, you will not be helping men, women, boys, and girls. You will be hurting them. It's wrong to murder, isn't it? What about spreading another gospel? That's serious. Amen. That is serious. Spreading another gospel is serious. And so the apostle is very strong with them. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? This word bewitched, it only occurs this one time. When we think about the word bewitched, in our language, we think about a spell, don't we? Somebody that have come up with smooth, slick words. We say, well, that sounds good, and go ahead and go off into that, bite into that doctrine, bite into that way without checking it out for ourselves. In our case, as the Lord's people, without going to the Scripture and see if it's so. And he's going to tell them about that as he reminds them of some things, as he takes them back to their own salvation, as he takes them back to the blessedness that they have had there in these churches in Galatia. He's going to remind them of how things started and how that doesn't compare with this thing that they have taken up. This word bewitched can also be considered to fascinate, to be wowed. To say, wow, boy, that's really, really good. But you know what? We need to know the Word of God so we can discern. We need to be able to have the Word of God in us. You know, and if we don't have the Word of God in us, how can we ever expect to take that and relay that on to our homes and our families and give them a right representation of the Lord Jesus Christ and of His service and His church and what the big picture is really all about? Amen? I don't have it in me. How can I give it to another? Amen? Yeah. Listen, what the pastor and the teachers and the church can do and what we maybe get 3 hours a week, we can't take what the world throws at us and turn that upside down in 3 hours. The world that you're exposed to and that your children are exposed to, the pastor can't undo that in 3 hours a week. There's got to be something going on with you. Amen. And it's not a thing of just get in line with the program, because that's seen through, isn't it? Yeah. But it's a taking of the Word of God and saying, this is what you need to give your heart and soul and life to. Jesus. Amen. God. Your creator that you're responsible to, child. During the time that we have them, to point them that way. Because one day it's going to come down to the day that it's just going to be them and the Lord. They're going to be there. They're going to make the decisions of their life. We can't do it anymore. And what a disservice parents do that try to control their lives of their children that are of age, amen? Maybe even try to undo some mistakes that they have done with them. We're not saying those things to run anybody down or to be hurtful by any means, but But those of the families of our household now, they've got to be taught and instructed right. Amen? And we that are older and in different places in our lives, or our grandparents or whatever, we have an opportunity to help others and help in regards to our grandchildren, don't we? And help our brothers and sisters in Christ. I haven't done right in raising my kids. I wish I'd have done better. And I want you that are raising your children to do better than I have. And may the Lord help us that we might be helpful one to another. O foolish Galatians, who hath fascinated you? Who hath bewitched you that ye should obey not, that ye should not obey the truth? Now it's getting down to where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? The truth. What is the truth? Sinners are lost and undone in sins and need Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, what he did in the grave, and him raising from the dead. Need him. Need that. Need the gospel. Nothing else for salvation. They need to see themselves as sinners. Not that and being circumcised, because that's what's at issue here. Or other things of the law added to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And then he's going to remind them here about the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth. None of us saw the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the tree that day, did we? But then in another sense, we did, didn't we? We don't know how it looked, but I know that he did so for me. Jesus Christ evidently said, he said it was so plain when the Lord visited you. It was so evident. It was so blessed. It was so wondrous and glorious that it was Jesus that died for you, your sins, that he bore your shame, your darkness, your condemnation, your hell, your damnation. He bore it that day, and he wasn't guilty. But I'm guilty. And he did that for me unto death. Evidently set forth. It was Jesus that did it. The Jews had sacrificed animals for centuries. And not a one of those sacrifices took care of one sin. And what is it that the Gentiles have been taught? Well, they've been taught and preached to out of the Old Testament, haven't they? And that Jesus Christ has been the fulfillment of those things contained there in the Old Testament. He's the answer to it. They've been given a history lesson about Israel. They've been told about the creation and about Israel and about Israel's falling away and the warning of that. Can you imagine a day when all it was that they had was the Old Testament scriptures? But it was enough. It was enough. And this one, Jesus of Nazareth, was the answer and the fulfillment of all of it. And the apostles preached that, and the disciples of the apostles that they passed that on to, and the churches that were, that's what they preached. Christ was evidently set forth. He was the fulfillment of it. He came and did it. And they believed it. That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes? Your eyes, Galatians, brothers and sisters in Christ. He was set forth before your eyes, crucified among you. He died for me. You remember? Don't you remember how that you saw that it was Jesus that died for you? Nothing else was necessary. Nothing else to promise. Nothing else to keep. You saw Jesus, precious to the salvation of your own soul, that he did that for you and for your sins. Freely. He gave it to you. Oh, look where you're going. Look where you're going. Verse 2, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Let's go back. Let's rewind. What did the Spirit of God that worked in you and showed you, that so convicted you, that so burdened you, so opened up your eyes? Was it because you kept the law that that came about? Or what is it, the Spirit of God that would speak to you and woo you and convict you and burden you and weigh you down about your sin and about your need and about the condemnation that rested upon you, and using all kinds of little different things in your life to remind you? You're wanting to get away from it, and then there's somebody else that comes and talks to you. Another preacher that preached to you. Amen. Somebody mentions a passage out of the Scripture and it just cuts right through you. Another person coming up to you and asking you, are you saved? Oh, I wish they'd leave me alone. Remember those days? With the Lord pricking the heart, amen. Amen. The apostle knew about it, didn't he? Saul, Saul, why kickest thou against the pricks? The Word of God, the Spirit of God. The law didn't do that to you. The law didn't bring that. Oh yeah, the law showed you you're guilty, and he's going to deal with that. But it was the Spirit of God. This only would I learn from you. I've got a question to ask you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? I've done enough. Got the Spirit of God. No. No. No, it wasn't that way. Or by the hearing of faith. Oh, yes. I believe it. The Lord says, repent and believe the gospel. And I believe him and what he said, that I do need to repent. I am guilty, and I do believe the gospel for me. It's not an option. It's not a hobby. It's essential. None of life matters if I don't have the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel applied to me. Amen. Nothing else matters. I've tried to keep the law. And in my heart, I've always been condemned. I could put it on good before in front of people. I could talk the talk real, real good. But in my heart, I knew. Yeah. And the Lord knew too. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? He knows the answer. He knows the answer. It was by the Spirit of God. Are you so foolish that having begun in the Spirit, you're now made perfect by the flesh? And understand, folks, he's dealing with the gospel. He's dealing with salvation. He's dealing with eternal life. He's not dealing about service. Because what's the issue? Another gospel. Are we to be made perfect in the flesh? No one ever had a baby and didn't expect a baby to grow up. We are too mature, aren't we? Amen. Amen. We are too mature. Does not the Scripture speak to us about mortifying the deeds of the Spirit? The flesh. Amen. This body. Crucify this old man.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. The Spirit of God living within, this visitation, this salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work of the Spirit in us, and the hearing of faith. This beginning of life, spiritual life, It is to work out. Amen? Amen. It's to work out. Amen. Work out your salvation, your own salvation, in fear and trembling. It's to be manifested in this body. How do I have a conversation without this body? Amen? Conversation being what I say, do, and think. And really it's think, say, and do. That's the way we ought to say it, but it doesn't go together good that way. Yeah, what has happened on the inside is to work its way out and have a change in this. But in regards to salvation, is there any way the flesh can bring salvation? No. It's a spiritual affair. It's going from being dead to alive. It's going from darkness to light. The operation of God, as we've seen. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh, to take something and add it to the gospel, make another gospel, create another gospel? He said, over here in chapter 1, he said this other gospel in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. He says, if anybody, if me, an angel, or anybody else preach another gospel, let him be accursed. And he repeats it in verse number 9, let him be accursed. It's that important. It's that essential. It is that so very necessary. Verse 3 in chapter 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you're now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it yet be in vain, if it be yet in vain. There in Asia Minor, and you remember about Ephesus, right? That's the stronghold of the worship of the great goddess Diana. You think that stops at the city limits of Ephesus? No. This region is, with the Gentiles that are there, is permeated by paganism and the Greek gods, Roman gods, and the effect of all that. And when this gospel came and was preached, Jesus of Nazareth, he being God, coming down to give his life for wicked sinners, and the big laugh being raising from the dead, that's what they mocked about, a resurrection. A coming back, one being able to take their own life back again, a God becoming a man, God becoming a man, and giving his life and then taking his life back again. When the Lord saved them, it cost them something. It cost them their families. It cost them their friends. It cost them their jobs. Have ye suffered so many things in vain? When the Lord visited you and saved you and made you his own, don't you remember how it cost you? And you were happy and willing for it to cost you. Because in your hearts and minds, it didn't matter. Jesus was worth it. Jesus is all that you needed. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? You know, Lord Jesus Christ saves us, and I agree with the statement that there's some things that are known that are wrong by the Spirit of God living within. And may the Lord help us, and I'm concerned and alarmed about one that would claim to have Christ as their Savior and then over the course of time be looking to crawl back in, walk back in, move back into those old things that the Lord saved them from.
Amen.
Those things that the Lord spoke to you about. See, salvation is not swapping your old deeds for some good. I don't miss cussing and swearing and taking God's name in vain. I don't miss it. I have no longing for it. And I was good at it. But the Lord saved me from that. He saved me from that. I wanted to do it then. I don't want to do it now. I don't want to utter His name in any empty way at all. Because I want to please my Lord. Amen. I love His name. Don't you? I don't want to be idle about my Savior and my Creator and my God's name. Do you? He saved me from that. Amen. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, are you wanting them back? Are you want to go back? Verse 5, He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The ministers among you, those that the Lord used to carry that gospel to your town, those strangers that entered into that into your town where you lived and began to preach, they went to the synagogue and dealt with the Jews, and you heard about some row down there at the synagogue where they left there and then they just came out in the public place or in the schools there in the town that you lived in, and they preached about Jesus Christ. Did they come to you saying, you got to keep this, 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 and this? Is that the way they came? You got to obey this, 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 and this? Is that the way they came? No, they had a fervor and a zeal. It was different than anything you'd ever seen. And their whole reason for having come to town, the whole reason for their life, the whole reason for them speaking to you was this one Jesus. Jesus. They were fanatical about Jesus. Was it by what they did and keeping this, this, and this that so stirred you and touched you about their conviction and their love for this one that they said was their Savior? Or was it that fervor and that zeal and that spirit within, that witness that you saw? You went home and you told your wife, you went home and told your husband, those people are different. He's taken them back to remember how it was at the beginning. May God help us. May the Lord please help us that we just don't get into a rote exercise of repeating the same old thing day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and say, we've done right before the Lord. Well, I want to preach a message on legalism. It's coming. I want to preach it. But may the Lord help us that we see and know and remember back when the Lord saved us, and we don't let that get cold, and we don't let that get old, and that we're motivated by our Savior. Amen? By Jesus. That Jesus isn't somewhere off far over in the next county, but that Jesus is near. That we walk with Him. We walk with Him. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Repent and believe the gospel. You're a sinner. You're guilty before God. And you need a Savior. And the only one that there is that can do anything for you is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's others out there that say they can. But we point you to Jesus.